There it is, that 8 o'clock rooster crow, and that coffee pour can only mean one thing. It's Saturday morning, and you're tuned in to Rosie on the House, a 26-year tradition right here in the great state of Arizona. Rosie's here with us.
Good morning.
We've got Jennifer, Rosie's wife, call screening in the back.
It's my first wife.
and no plans for more, right?
35 years, but she's still my first wife.
Good, very
good. It's going to stay that way.
Mike behind the glass as well, running all the boards, and you're joined in a very, very busy show this Saturday.
Oh, yeah, we're jamming today, baby.
10 o'clock hour, we have Bill Wood from Woods Plumbing driving up from Marana. He services all Southern Arizona, and then we've got Benjamin Franklin Plumbing in, 10 o'clock hour. Anything that leaks, drips, or flushes.
Or backs up.
We'll be covering today.
Your day with a plumber. Oh, yeah, baby. 10 o'clock.
Make sure you eat your breakfast early. Right now would be a good time. No brunch on today's broadcast. 9 o'clock hour, open lines. We'll also have an update from the digital newsroom and details from this trash tour we were able to take this week at the City of Phoenix Transfer Station. But it is the 8 o'clock hour. We're in the landscape and garden. And since it's the third Saturday, we are talking trees with John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service.
Good morning. Good morning. It's good to be here.
Before we get into any technical information on trees, how's your competition? If you missed it last month, John was and his team from Integrity Tree Service were going to the International Society of Arborists Tree Climbing Competition in Los Angeles.
Right. We had a wonderful competition at Griffith Park in Los Angeles. My son David and his friend Eric, they both are climbers, crew leaders with our company. Went to California, and I competed in the old timers division for those 45 years and older, and I had a blast. It was really a good time. David did really well. He placed eighth overall in his field of 30 competitors, the best climbers in all of the Western United States, and I'm really proud of him. He did great.
What kind of trees were you climbing in Griffith Park?
It was cool. There were a lot of sycamore trees, a few oaks, and primarily sycamores, big old giant sycamores, nice smooth white bark on them, and nice open canopies.
And I'm just generally curious by nature, what would be the most challenging part of that competition?
You've got to get up in the tree. You know, in a lot of the aerial rescue events, the belayed speed climb, then they have a work climb. So you got to get up in the tree and you got to ascend. You have to work around in the tree, and it just takes a lot of stamina. Like takes a lot of agility, and the competition is judging you on all those different aspects of your climbing ability.
Very good. Well, welcome back and congratulations to your son David. It was David,
yes,
right?
It was okay. David.
You have three. Four.
We've got five kids.
Five kids.
Yeah. Got three sons.
Three sons,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, David's our baby. He's 24 this year.
Well, congratulations to him. And it was Eric, your other...
Eric Ressler.
Very good. Well, welcome back. It is a call-in show. If you'd like to participate or have questions about trees, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Getting into our first Talking Trees talking point for June. I'm not a big fan of palms, but... If you have palms, it's your time to
this is
your maintenance time.
This is the time of year to be working on your palm trees. Anytime after about June 1st, the queen palms start to emerge, the seed pods start to emerge. So you can pretty much trim those from now to the end of the year. Fan palms, Mexican fan palms, the tall, skinnier ones, need to be trimmed anytime after June 15th. The California fan palms, the little chunkier, fatter palm trees, really, you should wait till about July 15th to trim those. The reason being is you have to wait until a certain date because the seed pods are fully emerged at that point. If you trim them before that date, you'll have seed pods emerging later in the year. Then you've got to either reclimb them to take the seed pods out or deal with all the little black seed pods that form.
And you notify them, hey, it's June 15th, you better have all your pods out.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. We do a lot of palms this time of year. And mark your calendar for those dates, though, and look at our website if you need some further information on there. We have all the dates marked there.
Now, a feature that we started last Saturday that you were in the studio with us, we had a tree of the month. And we start off with the state tree, the Palo Verde. you've brought a special guest in. We've got Mr. Richard Atkins, the City of Phoenix Forestry Division arborist, also the president of the Arizona Community Tree Council, and you're presenting our Tree of the Month.
Yes, which would be the desert ironwood, one of my favorite trees here in the Sonoran Desert.
And it of all the native Arizona trees, it is my favorite. I don't know what it is. The Palo Verdes have the beautiful yellow blossom. The mesquites have huge shade, but there's just something about that ironwood tree.
Maybe it's just the strong gray bark, the structure. It's very rugged, has nice twisting branches. And like you were mentioning, the yellow flowers on the Palo Verde, most desert species flower in yellow, but the desert ironwood flowers in a lavender color. So maybe that's what draws you to that tree.
And when do they flower?
May. Pretty much all through May. Starts late April going into June, but May is your flowering month. That's usually when most of the leaves fall off, and most people think their desert ironwoods are going into stress or dying, but that's just their natural process.
And it's part of what family?
The Fabaceae, which is like the pea family.
You wrote that, but I wasn't going to try and pronounce it.
Well, most of our desert trees are a member of the Fabaceae family. They compose about 50% of our urban forest here in the Phoenix area.
Now, I don't think of – I probably not many people think of forest and Phoenix together, or – you know, Arizona and forest, and in a lot of places, especially if they've never been up on the rim or to Flagstaff and the White Mountains. But what else is in that urban forest family that's 50%? Because it seems like when you drive by a park or the cemetery down by the Capitol, you don't see anything native in those. And I mean, these are huge plots of land, which
right.
is huge.
Well, within the Sonoran Desert, all the mesquites are in the same family, the Palo Verdes, the Cascalote. A lot of our non-native species, like the sisso, the Indian rosewood, and all the acacias, the honey locust, the carob, those are all in the same family because they tend to do well in our environment.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. We will be talking different specifics about the desert ironwood throughout the broadcast, as well as taking your calls, starting off in Tucson with Beth. Welcome.
Good morning. I have a problem. I think it's buffalo grass or buffalo grass, and I just want to dig it up, like cut the little spots of it. But then I ended up with divots. What's the best way to get rid of it?
Well, buffalo grass, I mean, that is becoming an invasive species throughout the state. The best
right.
way to do that is just to dig it up. You need to just get out there with your shovel, with your pick, just dig it up and remove it from the site.
How deep is, or are we talking on?
Well, the roots can extend for quite a number of inches out, so you want to make a, you will leave a divot like you were saying, but you need to just fill that back in and just remove it from the site. Try to get all of the roots that you can.
And talking fill-in, we were having a conversation before the broadcast started just about, you know, when you get done, I saw you were in a truck. Do you have a job after this?
Yeah.
You
sure do?
Yeah. you got one of your big chippers behind it. Where does all that material go once it's chipped? Because it does make a great fill-in.
It does. And, you know, we've already chipped the brush, so it's already in a pretty compostable form. So then we take it to a green landfill, if at all possible, where they can then turn it into compost. And the process is halfway done when we bring our chips there.
And the City of Phoenix, we will get more details on it later when we're talking the 9 o'clock hour. But the transfer station and the green waste, how many tons?
I think it was 112 tons of rubbish handled a day. I think that was the number. What I do know is that the City of Phoenix generates enough trash to fill the Diamondback Stadium from the pitcher's mound to the top of the rafters 7 times.
And a big part of that is landscape debris. And they've got a great green certified drop point where these trucks go in and they drop all their landscape material, gets carried, chipped, and
Richard had said a minute ago that Governor Stanton is wanting to move toward trying to, what is it, recycle?
The mayor.
to a diversion rate of 40% of our waste stream. So a lot of that has to do with the green waste. And so we'll put that back in and compost that. And then it gets bagged and just gets put back out on the market to use on your garden around your home.
Saves on a lot of transportation from getting it from other parts of you know, the country where they've got a little bit more trees. I mean, we got a lot, but...
Well, if you think about it, too, compost is, you know, we end up raking up all of our leaf litter in our yards. We blow it into piles, rake it up, and take it away. And that leaf litter really keeps dust down. It helps to provide a little, you know, prevents evaporation. And it's a shame that we take all the green waste away, take it to the landfill, and throw it away when it could be used in our yards.
I mean, the amount of debris that we pull off of our desert landscapes and then just put that into the rubbish bin, we could actually keep that for just natural fertilizer.
And I want to make sure all presidents of HOAs heard that. It can be a benefit before you start sending out fines and can y'all put on your... Okay, we'll... We're not going to Brett yet. We'll go to Carol in Sun City and see how we can help her. Carol, good morning.
Good morning. I have a beautiful lemon tree, about 5 years old. Had a lot of fruit a couple years ago, not much last year. And so this year, I didn't trim it at all and had big, beautiful branches. Now about three of them have snapped, and they're laying on the ground full of green leaves and lemons. Should I trim them now or leave them till it's cooler?
Well, I have found that, you know, lemons get really heavy with fruit. They're one of the most prolific fruit producers, and the branches get very, very heavy. We recommend trying to thin those lemons out, and especially maybe doing a little bit of pruning from the outside of those branches on the branch tips. Take some of that end weight out before the fruit sizes. You can do it when the fruit is quite small, and then as they get larger, you're not going to have so much weight. On those broken branches, you'll find if they haven't completely broken, they might stay alive, so you can leave them in the yard and maybe let the fruit go ahead and ripen so you can salvage the fruit if you don't mind leaving them lying where they are. Sometimes the branches break completely off. You've got to take them off, and you've lost that fruit. But yeah, a little bit of thinning early in the season is a good thing to do as you start to see those branches start to sag under the weight of the fruit.
That's one of the hardest things to do.
It is
thinning out your produce or thinning out your garden. But you got to.
You realize though that when you do thin it out, then the remaining fruit receives all the water and nutrients and actually sizes and actually can become a little bit larger and more productive, better fruit.
Thinning out a little, Carolyn, I think you'll be in great shape. You've heard in the news all over the state with the lack of water that we've had. Everything that crawls, creeps, tunnels, burrows is going to be in your yard looking for the water that you're putting on your lawn, putting on your trees, your gardens. Repels All Animal Repellent is an all-natural ingredient by Bonite that uses taste, smell, and irritation to keep them away, but it is undetectable odor to humans, which is what I love, because the products we used before that, it smelled like, I don't even want to tell you, you'd have to put rubber gloves on and you just felt like you were dripping in this nasty stuff. But their granulated formula, or their ready to use liquid, has completely no odor, and they are so confident it is satisfaction guaranteed. You can find it all over the state, including up at Waters Garden, the Mountain Gardener, Summer Winds in Phoenix, and AMP Nursery. That's Repels All by Bonite.